Blog Talk Radio.
Tracy B. Once again, you're listening to The Brownstone. So tonight I will be rocking the mic with content that is empowering, inspiring, and transforming. So grab your favorite beverage, find that favorite chair, and join the conversation. And welcome to The Brownstone, y'all.
If you love to read, you are in the right place. The Sisters of Literature is an interactive, multi-platform book club. Each month, we bring together passionate readers to review, discuss, share experiences, and inspiring stories about this month's book. Throughout the month, there are social media discussions and live chats that readers can join. So head on over to Facebook and join Sisters of Literature today.
Welcome back to The Brownstone, and once again, I am your host, Tracy B., and I'm excited, as always, to be here, but I need to let you in on just a little secret. See, we're packing up just a few things, because what we're getting ready to do is that we're going to come under the Voices of Hope Radio Network, under the network, so we're a little excited about what's going on, about the new adventures and the collaborations ahead. So as we begin to swiftly and slowly change, we ask that you would simply follow us on the Voices of Hope Radio Network on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So we're excited. Nothing changes, but we're just all coming under one umbrella. So, guys, it is just 2 days to go before we would know who will serve as our next president of the United States. So, you know, we've heard all these stories across the airway, but all I want to do is encourage you to vote if you haven't voted. Encourage you to let your voice be heard, because your voice matters and your vote counts. So make sure you get out to the polls and do your responsibility. But we're going to be right back after this commercial break.
This is the WB, and you're listening to The Brownstone on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Police brutality, not on our watch. Poor healthcare, no sir. Our voting system is broken. It changes when we change it. We rise up as one. We speak out for our black lives. In 2020, we show up to the polls. Your vote is your microphone. So get in the booth and turn yours up. Reclaim your vote. You dig?
Go to BET.com/reclaimyourvote for more on how to register.
Welcome back to the show. What's she doing?
This is the WB, and you're listening to the Brownstone on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and I am Tracy Brown. You know, I'm sitting here giggling because, you know, I know that my producer loves that beat because the beat to the Brownstone is very relaxing. And then that nice, sexy voice, I don't know who that is, but it's very relaxing, and you can get caught up in the music. But I come to ask you a question real quick tonight. Did you know that November is the month for American diabetes? Diabetes is one of the most common chronic conditions in our school-age kids. In the United States, it affects about 193,000 youth under the age of 20. So if you see someone wearing a blue ribbon this month, pay attention because they're making sure that you are aware about diabetes. We need to make an impact. So if you've lost someone or do you know someone who suffers from diabetes and you want to make a donation to the American Diabetes Association, just simply go to www.diabetes.org. I am so excited to have my next guest come on. I've known her for over 20 plus years. I'm not going to date ourselves. We share the same birthday month. I mean, I think I may be just 2 days older than her, or maybe she's older than me, but she's just a jewel, and she's a trusted friend in my life. So at this time, I would like to welcome none other than the beautiful masterpiece, Valerie Holmes, to the Brownstone. Valerie, are you there?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm going to have to take you with me everywhere and introduce me before I come in a room.
You know, I got a little tongue-tied when I started thinking, like, wait a minute, it's been 20-some plus years.
Girl,
that's a long
time.
40. See, I wasn't trying to tell our age, but it's been a long time.
And you are older.
I am older. Okay.
Yeah,
only by a day or a week, a couple of days. Okay. Mm-hmm. So did you get a chance to go and check out the Brownstone? I know you probably stopped by the library because I know how much you love to read. So did you get a chance to look around a little bit?
I did not. So I want to say that I did, but I did not today. I am so sorry, but I am going to do that this week and tell my listeners about your show.
Okay, then. Okay, no problem. So, you know, as you come on the Brownstone, everybody that comes on, I always like to say I like to have some fun facts and some questions, right? So this is just so
okay.
That the audience can get to know you just a little better. So my first question is simply this. I want to take this moment to talk to you about someone that is dear and near to your heart, and that's Penny. Can you tell us about Penny? Because I've seen a picture posted of her. I think something special happened this past week. So can you tell our listening audience about
okay,
who Penny
so,
is and what she means to you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Penny is my German Shepherd that saved my life. I got her a little after my mother passed. And on October 29th, she would have turned 8, but I lost Penny during COVID on April 9th. She died suddenly, so she's gone, but I am fostering in her name.
Yeah, so I noticed that. I know how much you love that dog. I had the opportunity to meet Penny, guys. And Penny is Penny was a beautiful dog. Penny was a big dog, but she was a gentle animal, but it was a big animal. You know, I kind of like, I'm not afraid of dogs, but, you know, until I get to know them, I'm kind of like, uh-oh. But also, I wanted you to sum up 2020 in 10 words or less.
A year to survive, transform, and celebrate.
All right. So I heard
it's
transform,
year, right?
Survive, and celebrate.
And celebrate.
Yeah, but right, but because we got up every morning, we can celebrate, right? Even though we went through the transformation, we
mm-hmm.
transformed, we learned some things about ourselves that we didn't know. You know, we
yeah.
had to just simply, you know, take this was a time where we had the opportunity to spend time with ourselves and our loved ones. And I think a lot of people found out some different things about some folks, right? About some people,
yes,
and
amen.
Even about yourself. Yeah, even yeah. about yourself. So I was reading through your bio, right? And I know
okay.
that in your bio, you are an actor, right? So, of course, my last question before we go to commercial break is that I want you to
mm-hmm.
see if we could play a little trivia today. So this is my question. You ready?
Uh-oh. I'm scared.
Don't be scared. Okay, so here we go. This TV show focuses on a comedian taking in his sister's kids after she enters rehab. And I can give you a
Bernie
hint
Mac.
If
Bernie Mac.
Very good. See, listen, I didn't even have, she got it right there, and I didn't even have to give her a clue. So I'm excited about that. But we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This is the WB, and you're listening to the Brownstone on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
This fall and winter, flu viruses and COVID-19 may both spread. It's more important than ever to reduce the risk of flu for yourself, your family, and your community, and getting a flu shot is one way to do that. The flu shot is safe for all ages and all health conditions, and is free to all Indigenous people because we tend to have higher health risks than others.
Judith has always played it safe.
I'm a little sad tonight.
My husband left me.
But now she's taking action.
I want to stop agreeing to things I don't really want.
Then stop.
Taking a chance, living out loud.
Welcome back to the show, and I'm your host, Tracy Brown, and I thank you for joining the conversation tonight. Our guest tonight is Valerie Holmes from the podcast LOL, which simply means living out loud. And I'm excited to have her here today so she can share with us some tips about how we can also live out loud and how we can also, and the purpose behind her show. So I'm going to dive right into a few questions. What does living out loud mean to you?
So I came up with the name LOL, Living Out Loud, because I've recognized that I'm, and it's specific to 50-plus sisters. While younger sisters could enjoy it and learn from it, it's for our age range, it's not for us to look at all that we've been through, give some thought to who we are now and who we, and what we are. And we should be bold enough to share our struggles, our outcomes, and celebrate together instead of being ashamed. I hope we have worked to that point. If not, the show is there to help us get there.
And it is an exciting show as it is. But so when did you discover that you really, because I heard you say it's for women our age, and, of course, I'm not trying to tell our age, but maybe in the 50s categories, ages, somewhere between that thing. But when did you discover, because it's called living out loud, when did you discover that you actually weren't living out loud? And what, you know, I know that you said what brought it on through our life experience and stuff, but when did you discover,
uh-huh.
like, I'm not living my life like,
yeah. So, you know, when I was younger, I used to hear older women say 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, well, it matters to you what they think. It matters to you now what you look like, what other people say about you. You still want to people please and say yes and not disappoint people. And I remember hearing older women say that. My mother say that. My grandmother said that. And then they said that there would come a time in your life when no would come out a heck of a lot easier. And when that happens, that's living out loud. We're not even built to live out loud in our 20s, 30s. 40s, we're beginning to figure out we've got to learn to take care of ourselves and why we need to. But it's not until you get into that middle part where you're bold enough to own everything you've been through and use it for your advantage.
And that's key. So, you said own everything that you've been through and use it to your advantage,
yeah,
because life,
yeah,
teaches us lessons. Life teaches us lessons. And if we can share,
mm-hmm,
some of those lessons with someone else, that's a great thing. Even if we can't, we've learned from them. So I've learned as I've gotten older just to learn a lesson from each and everything that I go through, good, bad, or indifferent. But when I was listening,
that's
to
right,
one of your podcasts, you said grab your drink and your journal and come on in. I love that. But this particular show, you were talking about girlfriends. So I want to ask you, what about your friends? What about your girlfriends? I found that to be very interesting. So I want to spend a little bit of time there with you about, you know, our girlfriends and friends and stuff.
So I've got to share where that took off from. I went to YouTube and Instagram and Facebook, and what I found, shows where they were dealing about girlfriends, was usually younger sisters. And most of their conversations, 20, 30-year-old sisters, was that they didn't believe women could really be friends. And I gave that some real thought. Everywhere that I went, and you can do the research yourself, even books, negativity about women, particularly black women in friendships. And I don't believe that to be true. I believe that you could have difficulties, but if you're a bold woman, a woman that lives out loud, who knows who they are, you can actually form great friendships with women. So I brought some women together on that show, and we just chatted about being girlfriends and stuff that we go through and stuff that we could support each other through. And there was only one woman on the show that said she didn't have any girlfriends. Any. And, you know, that made us all think about, you know, how do you live your life and get to a certain, can say that you never had any girlfriends, not any real friends. So just something to think about. What's wrong with, you know, sisters that we can't be friends with each other, or can we be?
Well, and that's the question, can we be? So for me, I too think that black women can be friends, whether, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. Some people will say I'm a good friend. Some people say I'm not a good friend. But I think it's all about, at the end of the day, what does friendship mean to you? Because to me, friendship is someone being authentic and honest with me, someone that's telling me about me in a loving and kind way, you know, because I am my sister's keeper. So I don't want to see my sister do bad.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes she may not like what's coming out of my mouth, but I'm saying it in love and for her benefit. And I just think a lot of times as African-American women, we are so harsh on our friends. If something happens then and we don't like it, then, oh, we're not being bothered no more. We're cutting them off.
That's right.
And I can admit, I've been guilty of that. But we cut them off. And I believe that people come in your life for a certain thing. You know, I believe in that saying, and I can't remember how it goes right now, but they come in your life, either they're going to be there for the long haul, either they're there to get you through something, or whatever their purpose is in your life. Everyone that comes into our lives has a friend or has a girlfriend, there's a purpose there. And so I think that we would do our own due diligence if we took the time to get to know that individual, right, and we can understand, you know, what their purpose is in our life, our purpose in each other's life. Because I believe in, and I think we talked about it, the transformation of you know, just the transferring of friendships and loving, you know, just the transferring of emotions within a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's kind of
And
we've been friends for a long time. I mean, I wouldn't say that we've been friends and we've been out in, you know, in and out of each other's life. But I can say I can honestly say and believe that if I called you and I really needed something, that you would be there. So, you know, my producer tell me it's a reason, season, or a lifetime. That's how our friends come into our lives. And reason, and I love my producer because she's going to help me through this, you know, help me through all the time. But one thing I would say, and I'm gonna put this out there, and I don't know how people feel in the listening audience. A lot of times what happens is when we get a man, we change. We ain't got time for our sister no more. But a good friend, you know, we kind of like put them on the back burner. You know, love comes here. And, you know, if you got one of them girlfriends, that I used to have a girlfriend, and I'm not talking, you know, nameless, whatever, that when I didn't have a man and she had one, all things was well. But when I had one and she didn't, it was a problem. It was a problem. I was like, I was cool when I was like, I could never understand that thing. And so that was one of the things for me. Or we get males in our life and all of a sudden we just change. Things change. Like they become the superior. And I'm like, I've been there 20 years. I've been your friend. I'm going to still be here if you fall, but I'm going to be my friend. So, you know, so my other question is simply also one of your podcasts talked about a note to self. You share a personal note to yourself, and you encourage your listening audience to do the same. So if you had to write a note to yourself today, what would it say?
So when I do a note to self or encourage anyone to do it, I did it when I was a teacher for my class. I usually ask you to write a note to your younger self or a situation that you went through. And so if I had to write a note to myself today, it would be in this season that I've been in for the last 11 years that I call the waiting room. And my note right now would simply say, just keep holding on, because I can't write a note, the note that I want to write, until I'm out of the waiting room. I'm just in a holding pattern in my life right now.
And I think that so often we find ourselves in holding patterns. Some of us recognize it and some of us don't. We just like, you know, but it's good when you recognize that you're in a holding pattern. That means that, to me, it means that you're observing everything around you, but you know that even though you should be moving forward, you're just at that balance. You're just there. You're not moving forward and you're not moving backwards. You're just holding. Whether it's a good hold or a bad hold, you're just holding. And sometimes in that place where you're holding is where all of the good work happens at, where everything that needs to happen happens before you're released to move forward. You know, sometimes because you don't want to get ahead of it, right? I'm going to get a little bit spiritual now. You don't want to get ahead of God, right? Because that means you're not going to come in on time or on target, and you don't want to get behind them because you're still not going to come in on target. So if you're in that holding pattern, listening for his voice, knowing that he's already prepared the landing strip, you already got the lady say, okay, here you go, this way, but you have to have those patience and be in that holding pattern. So I envy you for that tonight, because many of us don't like that holding pattern. We're ready to move. We're ready to go. We're ready to move forward. And so I commend you for that tonight, being able to just hold there and just say, you know what, I'm in the holding pattern. I'm in the waiting room. That's a good place to be sometimes. So last but not least, what are your tips to help us that aren't living, that have that desire to live out loud but really don't understand, you know, what it is to live out loud? What tips can you give us to kind of like help us, guide us to living out loud?
So first let me just say, it is impossible to live out loud if you don't know who you are. Self-actualize, to use that therapeutic word. But if you don't know who you are, you can't live out loud. And one of the best ways to begin to do that is to journal, honestly. To get a notebook, I don't care, and start to write. First question, who are you? What do you want? What dream did you have that you didn't go after, and why? Who do people say you are? What do you believe about children? And in these answers, if we're honest, we find out what our insecurities are, fears are, what our disappointments are, what our regrets are. When we look at them and lay them out, forgive ourselves, forgive other people who have hurt and injured us, we begin to know who we are better. Thus, that's how we can become real girlfriends, because you cannot be a girlfriend with an insecure woman. That's a girl. So when I say girlfriend, I'm actually saying woman friend. A girl is an immature female, and I don't want to be friends with an immature female. I can be her mother, I can be her mentor, but I can't be her friend. So if you want to be woman friends, you know, sisterhood friendship, you've got to know who you are. You've got to do the work. For me, it was journaling and it was therapy. I still go to therapy. Everybody should go to therapy. You go to a gynecologist, you also should go see a head doctor. And when you do that work, you can begin to live out loud. I can say to you, I didn't do this thing because I was afraid. Oh, I can't do that because I don't believe that I can. I always think I was the most attractive person. Oh, I thought I was too fat for that, too black for that. You got to be able to say that and own it.
Wow.
Work through it. Wow. Fix it. LOL. And you can't do that 20, 30. It takes life. Life teaches you how to live out loud, be who you are, own it, and love yourself anyway, even in your imperfections. Some women need to be able to say, I was messy. I was that messy girl that started mess. I was her. Thank God I grew from that. But you can't grow if you don't acknowledge it, because you're still lying to yourself. And that's what LOL, you know, living out loud is about. It's hard. It's we're still trying to figure it out, you know, on the show, figure stuff out. So right now we're journaling out loud. Can you imagine if I threw you out a question and had you answer it honestly, out loud, your business? Yeah. And so, when we grow, we can do that out loud, right? If I say, boom, you know, because you're not ashamed of it anymore. You don't let anybody hold it against you anymore. It has no power over you anymore. You know, stuff like that. So,
you know, we've just been talking for a little bit of time here. And when you talked about journaling and you talking about, you know, to me, what I'm hearing in my spirit is like living out loud is simply being able to live out loud, is being able to look at yourself and look at your imperfections, right, and own your imperfections. And once you're able to own those imperfections, you can no longer be held hostage to anything. Woo! Because you know what? You've owned it and you're walking in it and you say, yeah, I was that messy girl. Yeah, I was the one that was over here this day and over there that day. I was that person that, hey, when you do something, I'm going to cut you off. I don't need that friendship. I don't need this. I was that messy person. I didn't know how to have a relationship. I didn't know how to love. I didn't know how to be a mother. I didn't know all these things. But once you own it, right, once you step up to it, once you look at the reflection in the mirror, then you can live out loud. That was some good stuff. that was some good stuff.
Yeah, it gives you the opportunity to fix it. Girl, you were just preaching.
Yeah.
But, you know, it gives you the opportunity to fix it and become a better you. This is a journey, right? You know, if we look at our walk in our faith, it's a sanctification, it's a process. I mean, we're redeemed immediately. But the sanctification, the becoming a perfection, well, that takes forever.
It really does.
At a certain age, we keep on becoming. You know, I'm excited about being in this middle part of my life, because I couldn't do this in 20. 20-year-olds can't do this.
And you know what? That's true, because 20, you're trying to get your career going. You're trying to find your boo if you haven't got one. You're trying to live life. You're trying to travel. You're trying to do all these crazy things. But it's only once you've gotten mature, you know, like mature ladies like we are in our 50s. 50-ish, that you begin to look at life and understand what life is and understand that it's a journey.
Every day. Exactly. Yes, girl, yes.
And so once you do this thing, I'm getting some free therapy right here, listening to the audience, if you don't know, haven't picked up. So once you're able to do all these things, then you're able to have an authentic woman friend because you don't feel challenged in any area because you're your authentic self. You've been through everything. You dealt with what you needed to deal with in you. You know, so you're able to relate to that sister because guess what? You've been through something similar, if not, you know, similar to what she's going through. You're not only able to relate to it, you're able to help her through it. I'm telling you, we're going to definitely have you back on the show because you have spit out some knowledge in just this short time. But I want to ask you if you could provide us with your social media connections, let us know where we can find Living Out Loud. All right.
Sure. Okay, so LOL, Living Out Loud, it's a podcast, and you can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Google, Amazon, Stitcher, anywhere you can find it. And you can reach me if you would like to be on the podcast and LOL, Live Out Loud with me. You can reach me at livingoutloud50@gmail.com. And I would love to have some sisters on the show.
No problem. I am quite sure my listening audience loves to be on the show. So trust me, you're going to get a call. But matter of fact, I may call and say, let me be on your show.
Well, I want you to answer some journal questions for me.
I actually wrote them down, so I'm gonna try to do my homework a little early before I'm on the show. But I truly thank you for coming to the Brownstone tonight being a part of our, you know, you're a part of the family now, being a part of our family. But we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back.
This was never just a game.
This was speaking out for decades. And the sad reality is people have to change their view of us.
And it's shown us that humanity is greater than anything else that divides us.
We're actually living and breathing human beings that have a multitude of intelligence, work ethic, discipline, talent.
We stand on the shoulders of men and women who fought for our right to participate, for our right to run without fear, for our right to not only breathe, but thrive.
I want to see that same uproar. I want to see that same, this is not our country. This is not what we want to represent, but we can't be the only voices doing it.
We have a right to make it known, loud and clear.
My patience left my body when I watched George Floyd take his last breath.
Our lives matter.
This is the WB, and you're listening to the Brownstone on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
The holidays are a time of joy and merriment. But for some, the holiday season isn't about cheer. It's a time of depression, anxiety, loneliness, and self-evaluation. Hi, I'm Peter Clendenning. I'd like to talk to you about seasonal depression, or better known as seasonal affective disorder. It's a type of depression that occurs as the days grow shorter in the fall and winter. For single people, it can be particularly tough.
Suicide is the main risk factor of seasonal affective disorder. With nearly 400,000 suicides happening every year in the United States alone, with it being most prevalent among whites, with the exception of Native Americans and Alaskans.
While 3 times more women than men attempt suicide, 4 times more men than women actually kill themselves. More than half of the suicides in the U.S. are with guns.
Some symptoms include tiredness, fatigue, depression, overeating, and crying spells. Changes in eating patterns, changes in sleeping patterns, lessened interest in activities, feelings of hopelessness and helplessness, thoughts of suicide, general changes in behavior, not being themselves, for instance.
With a watchful eye on our family and friends, we can end seasonal affective disorder.
So keep your eyes and ears open, and let's make this holiday a happy one.
Welcome back to the Brownstone, and I'm your host, Tracy Brown. I truly hope you enjoyed that last segment, Living Out Loud. Our guest, Valerie Holmes, was just funny, you know, and she made us really think about our friendships, our note to ourselves, and really about living out loud. You know, the holiday season can be a difficult time for many people. And today we're joined by our resident mental health strategist, Kim Leslie Underwood, as she shares with us seasonal depression impacts not only our loved ones, but ourselves. So, mental health strategist, are you here?
Yes. Good evening, Tracy. It's good to be back with you all.
It's good to have you. It was definitely good to have you. Did you listen to the last segment while you were back in the green room?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. Your guest, Valerie, Living Out Loud, she had some key points. I was like, I need to call her up. Oh, yes. It was an awesome, awesome show. You're doing your thing. I'm loving the environment. You did some more interior decoration. Your guests have been off the hook. This is definitely the place to be on a Sunday night.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is. And what's so unique about it, not only are we reaching people all over the world, but I'm excited about the connection that we're getting ready to make with the Voices of Hope Radio Network, how we're getting ready to do bigger and greater things. So I thank you for being a part of the show tonight, but I'm excited to hear what you have to teach us about seasonal depression.
Yes, yes. I knew you called me back here for something. You know, when we get together, we have a wealthy conversation. So, Tracy, since 2020, the rate of suicide in the United States have risen by 36%. That is alarmingly high, especially now with us being in this pandemic for 8 months. Suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. It's also the second leading cause of death for Americans under the age of 45. So we have to look at this, what we're going to discuss throughout this evening, how crucial it is for us to be able to identify symptoms amongst our loved ones and also within ourselves, which is very important. Women are more suicidal and will attempt to go through with their plans. However, Tracy, men are more likely to be successful. So I am honored to share with you and your audience tonight something that I learned while I was in grad school. My professor said something so profound in the middle of our lesson, going into the fall season, and he said, you will begin to see pulses up in your travels, in your community, on the highways and byways, talking about SAD. And I'm like looking puzzled, Tracy. I'm like, what are you talking about, fat? He was like, no, seasonal affective disorder. In the DSM-5, there is a diagnosis for those who, number one, have been diagnosed with clinical major depression, but they also deal with seasonal depression. You might have heard it called winter blues, seasonal depression, but this is a diagnostic clinically where you have individuals taking antidepressant medications. You can have loved ones that are up, thriving, you know, in a normal routine, and then, you know, the season change, fall comes in, and you're like, what's going on? They begin to backtrack. They begin to become very withdrawn. So we have to look at these signs, these symptoms, these behaviors, the narrative that our loved ones are beginning. You got to look at yourself to say, okay, all right, one day in the bed, you know, one day I call out of work, one day I might, you know, excuse myself from an event or doing something that I would normally do. But when you see yourself in days end continuously making excuses for not doing something that you once loved or was interested in, then these are some of the signs that, hey, maybe I'm depressed. Maybe this is the season because, you know, seasons changes. And I want to ask you a few questions, Tracy, as we're talking about seasonal affective disorder. I'm going to be interchangeable because I know, you know, America, we talk about the winter blues and we also call it seasonal depression. So what is one of your favorite seasons?
The winter month.
The winter month. Wow. Describe why you like the winter month. That's awesome.
I love the winter month because, number one, I was born in February, so I'm a cold baby, mm-hmm. right? And then I just like mm-hmm. the snow. And it, to me, when it snows, it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like it cleans out everything. And I just love the middle months. I love the cold, which makes no sense to probably most people, but I love the winter season. But I think my winter season actually starts like maybe more a little bit like around the – I love the holidays, right? Share a little bit, I love the holidays, but my mom passed around Christmas. So I noticed that around Christmas, well, after Christmas and between New Year's, I kind of like get this eating disorder. And I only recently recognized it maybe like 3 years ago. Like, why am I eating crazy or why I get a little emotional? But that's because my mother passed during that season, that period right there. And it was in between after Christmas and before my birthday. It was just like around that time I kind of like get a little, maybe a little off, a little haywire just a little bit. But I think that probably could, I don't know if that's considered seasonal affective disorder, depression or something, but I do notice that about myself.
Which is great because one of the things is that we as people don't recognize when there's a shift in our mood, right? And let's go back when women their cycle come, right? Some people say, well, you know, I'm starting to get cramps. I'm starting to become irritable. I'm starting to blow. So you know, like maybe a few days after you have those experiences, that guess what? Now my cycle is here. And it's the same thing. Like you're saying, I love, you know, my most favorable season is winter. And you was able to associate the emotion of the season to what? To the, you know, the weather outside, the holidays. But then you also said in this cycle, in this season that you've been experiencing, right, that something changed in your life, right, the loss of your mother. So now when the season comes, yes, you still hold on to the wonderful things that you've always celebrated and you enjoy, because seasons are cycles, and that's where I'm getting at when I ask you what was your favorable season, because we have the spring, summer, fall, and winter. And most people, right, when it's spring and fall, we jolly, you know, it's beautiful, the weather's changing, you go out more, you're more socializing. But what happens when the fall, the leaves are dying? It seems like dread for some people, right? And then winter is cold, they do have holidays, but guess what? Everybody doesn't celebrate holidays. Everybody who used to celebrate holidays, Tracy, doesn't celebrate them because, like you said, they've had a loss. They might have lost a parent, a child, someone significant in their life. Sometimes companies, that's when layoffs start to happen towards the end of the year. So there's a lot of things that are happening around this season that we call SAD, seasonal affective disorder, the winter blues, because there's a lot of changing. So what I'm saying to your audience today is, look, family, we have to start looking at this. We have to understand that we can't change a season. The seasons are going to come. This is life, right? But in it, some experience that we might encounter might change our effect, our mood, how we might embrace the season. What I love what you said was you acknowledge the favorable part of it and also the moment of, I recognize that I lost my mother during this time, and you have a right to grieve in that moment. And I want you to understand that it's very important that you acknowledge the loss and experience the grief for that moment. So when you ask the question, I guess I'm in it, no, because individuals who are going through winter blues, SAD, seasonal affective disorder, they stuck there. They're not able to get up out of bed. They're not able to enjoy the snow outside. They're not able to go into a department store and shop. Well, I don't know if we're going in department stores anymore, Tracy, but, you know, even going online shopping, something that they can shop from home, they're no longer doing that because they've lost the interest. And that's what happens when people who have been diagnosed or underdiagnosed with major depression, they just don't have the energy anymore. And this is one of the signs that I would say for you to look out for your loved one within yourself. You know, why am I losing the loss of interest of things that I used to be interested in, right? Why I'm not participating in certain things that I usually do, especially if you're a person around the holidays that do certain things with your family and your friends, whether it's redecorating your home, preparing it. But I know it's going to be different this year. But even with the different normalcy that we have, people are going to become creative because this is something that they love to do. But we have to look at, is this happening to my loved one? And I want to say this here too, Tracy, which is very important, because I talked about loss of your energy, your interest, withdrawing, isolating. You also have irritability. Sometimes you eat. You might eat more. You might be a sweet eater or a salty eater at that time. You see yourself craving for certain things, like more. But also, too, a person who deals with major depression, which is underneath this criteria, is that they become manic, too. So oftentimes when people see, they're not depressed. What are you talking about? They are happy to get up. No, there's different types of depressive individuals, and there's disorders. So what happens is the person could be manic, meaning they are all bubbly, they're happy outside, that's external, but inside they don't feel worthwhile. They feel their self-esteem is low. They could be contemplating suicide. So we have to really be mindful of the people who are in our life, especially in our homes. And then right now I would say for people who are not with loved ones, you know, people who are home alone, you have the elders that are home alone. You have a lot of our young adults who might be away at college and they might not be able to get back home for whatever reason, and they might have other plans, but majority of the time that they're alone, we have to check in. We have to check in and see how they're doing. Not even just what they're saying, but you know the tone. You can tell the difference in someone's tone, their mannerism. There's an adjustment, and I'm gonna add this too, Tracy. Don't be like, oh, I think you got SAT. I was listening to Kim, and no, people are gonna go through changes. And how do you help someone go through? Remind them of stuff that they do. Say, hey, you know what? We haven't gone jogging in a while. Let me help you go jogging. Let me help you do this. That will help them get out of the mood. And if you see a person that continuously throughout the weeks continues to be in that funk, that's what I call it, that funk, then maybe recommend a therapist. Maybe go on to see someone. Or I have a number that they can also reach out, which is anonymous. It's a toll-free number. And their office hours are 8 a.m. To 10 p.m. at night. And it's called the Awareness for Seasonal Depression. And that number is 844-863-9314. Can I repeat that again, Tracy, if you don't mind?
Yes. Yes, you can.
844-863-9314.
So is that Eastern Standard Time? What time is the 8 to 10?
Yes, it is.
10?
Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Eastern Standard Time.
Okay. So you gave us some good tips there, what we need to look for. You gave me, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to you, and I was like, oh, salty, sweet stuff. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I start to think about the times and the seasons that that was happening. Then I noticed, like, all of a sudden, like, I don't want that salty or sweet stuff. And I guess I've worked my way through my depression that I really didn't understand that I was going through. But
mm-hmm.
now that I'm, you know, sharing with us tonight, I'm able to see some of those traits in my own self. So I thank you for sharing that with us and letting us know that you know, that there's help out there, that we as family members, if we see a change, a pattern in what they do, how they behave, maybe we can say, hey, you know, you're not going jogging as much as you do. I think that's an example you did. Or you're not reading as much, or you're not doing this as much. And so letting them know that you notice a change in them, but we're not pushing them. And maybe if the behaviors continues, then you, as a family member, we should recommend that they see someone. So I really thank you for those. And you also talked about the symptoms, which included fatigue, depression, hopelessness, not, you know, maybe a, I guess social withdrawal, not really wanting to, you know, be around people, be bothered with people, do anything, just unconnected is like what I like to call it. They just disconnect. You know, when
right.
any other
and
time,
also irritability.
Very oh yeah.
When someone is very irritable.
Yes.
Yes, very irritable. And then you have the other side when people seem outwardly, you know, bubbly, and you're like, what's going on? You know, this is not normal. Your tone, your balance, right? That normal balance, see, that's something that you're familiar with. And again, this is the time. We're going into the holidays, and the pandemic has changed a lot of traditions. So we have to be mindful of this. You know, I know people, we could get caught up in preparing for our, you know, loved ones or things that we're going to do, because we have to come up with new ways and be creative for how we're going to spend the holidays this year because of the pandemic. But we don't forget about your loved ones. Don't forget about those who are home alone, those who have lost loved ones in this season. You know, something that if you was planning on inviting someone and then they lost a loved one, you're like, I don't think I want to invite them because they might not invite them. They need to get out. They need to get back into a routine. That is the key thing, helping your loved ones get back into a routine. Help them to find that joy, that interest again, that fire again, to help them go through, because the season is going to change again. But what's going to happen while they're in that season? That's so important. How are we going to help them through this season right now?
And that is key. And you brought up one thing, I think, at the beginning. You talked about we've been in this pandemic since March. And some areas that individuals live in, you know, they're more they're in phase two, or some may have gone on to phase three, but this has been a time that even if you experience a loss of a loved one, a lot of times they weren't allowing us to go to the hospital. Or if it was, this was a short period of time where it was a normal time, normal, if our world was normal, you know, back the way it was, and we may have been able to go to the hospital a little more. Just the thought of maybe I've lost someone that I love and they were in there by itself. I didn't get the chance to be there because this pandemic has totally changed our lives. And I'm quite sure that I remember you mentioned that the number has gone up to 36%. I don't know what the number was last year, but like you said, 36% is very high. And that's probably how they like to say in politics, the margin of error, like it could be 30, you know, maybe 40% or maybe just a tad bit lower, but 36% is a high number. So if you're around your loved ones this year, pay close attention. If it's you, get some help. Don't be afraid to ask for any type of help if you need it because we're in this thing together. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
This is the WB, and you're listening to the Brownstone on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show. And boy, what a good night we have had. I thank all of our guests for coming on tonight. But most of all, I want to thank you, the listening audience, for stopping by the Brownstone and joining in the conversation. I also want to take this time to invite you to follow us on the Voices of Hope Radio Network on Facebook, Instagram, and don't forget about Twitter. Take a moment to be sure that you like our page because there are some great things coming up and we want our listening audience to be involved. So until next week, I thank you for joining me and let's take a listen to our Brownstone theme song.
This is the WB, and you're listening to the Brownstone on Voices of Hope Radio Network. I'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Brownstone on the Voices of Hope Radio Network. And we'll be right back after this commercial break. Stay tuned.